Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sound Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. QT and Sound Guy with you as normal. And we will continue on with Freak Show Month. As we are right in the heart of Freak Show Month, our guest today, very familiar with the Freak Show, Paul Freak Show, are you with us?
Freak Shine is.
Well, Paul Freak Shine, if you would prefer. Now, you've been with us here recently, but one of the things that I wanted to ask you right away today is you have taken the Freak Show on the road, as it were. You have made stops in Roseburg, Oregon for Power Pit Pro Wrestling. What led you to Power Pit Pro?
Well, I was at Power Pit Pro years ago when they first started. I wasn't a Freak Show then. I wasn't Freak Shine then. I was somebody else. But so we've gone to Roseburg, and we've taken over Roseburg. We've taken over just about everywhere we go.
Now, what was it that attracted you to Power Pit Pro? Was there anything specific about the company that you saw that most led you to join that company?
Not really. I just, at the time, I was a moonshiner, so I followed JB wherever he went. But now that's not the case. I'm with a more successful team, and we do what we want where we want to do it, and any way we want to do it.
It's very funny that you say you went to the more successful people at Power Pit Pro. At the most recent Power Pit event, you were responsible for having lost the Power Pit Pro Wrestling Hardcore Championship, briefly as it were, to none other than your own son, JB Moonshine. How can you say that you're more successful when, in fact, you lost that title to the aforementioned JB Moonshine?
If you recall, or if you were even there paying attention, like you're supposed to be paying attention, is he came up from behind me. He attacked me from behind. He rolled me up from behind. I had no idea he was going to come up behind me. And therefore, if that only lasted about 3 seconds, because then Draylen Vargas came out and got it back for us.
Unfortunately, I missed that entire match as it was happening. I was studying the Power Pit Pro rule book at the time. Missed the whole thing.
Yeah, I'll leave it to you to miss something that as important as a hardcore title being stolen from me. But as it were, like I said, we got the title back, and Draylen Vargas took care of that for me.
One of the things you told us on this very program that caused you to leave your own family and join the Freak Show was merchandising opportunities. Obviously, the Freak Show is still putting out merchandise. What is the merchandising situation like currently between you and the Freak Show? Are they still giving you a percentage of the Freak Show merchandise fortune, or are you producing your own line of merchandise to sell? What's the situation?
Well, you know, that there is Freak Show business. I don't think anybody needs to know how I get my money or how I make my money. The important thing is I do make my money, and the Freak Show and I are a complete family.
Well, you say that you and the Freak Show are family. Of course, you have family all over the country, it seems. There's always members of your family popping up here, there, and everywhere. Now, to my knowledge, none of your actual blood relatives have ever been in the Freak Show. Has there ever been talks between other members of your family about joining the Freak Show?
No, we're happy just with what we've got. We don't need anybody else. We're a successful team, and we don't need anybody else to bring us down.
I have to point out, after the things we've learned in the last couple of months, your nephew Dave Turner Moonshine might be the most Freak Show-like member of anyone out there not currently involved in that group.
Well, he might be, but you know, Dave he does his own thing, and we have our eyes set on maybe one or two other people, but when that comes to be, that comes to be, or if it comes to be.
I would also like to point out, in the last few weeks, I hold a pinfall victory over your nephew, Dave Turner.
Well, that's fine and good. But you know something? You don't hold any pinfall victory over me.
Yet. The key word there will be yet.
That's a three-letter word. That's a word that is not even in my vocabulary. It will never happen.
It might. You never say never in the wrestling business. I'm sure Dave Turner was thinking that seconds before I pinned him 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring.
Dave Turner is a completely different type of animal. He's not as crazy as I am.
Well, one of the other people that I'm curious to know their status is the aforementioned Draven Vargas. I noticed he is a full-fledged member of the Freak Show and Power Pit Pro Wrestling, luckily enough for you and your hardcore title. But at Blue Collar Wrestling, he doesn't seem to be one of the primary members there. What can you tell us of Draven Vargas' official Freak Show status?
He's a good member at Roseburg. You never know, at BCW he may become member two. He's not off the list of people we may consider coming to the show at BCW. It's just that terms have not been made yet.
Draven Vargas is someone that has been in the Pacific Northwest wrestling scene for many, many years now. I believe he's closing in on 15 years in the industry. What was it that you saw in Draven Vargas that you extended the offer for him to join the Freak Show?
Well, he's big, he's strong, and he has the heart that we consider people for, and he also listens to what we have to say, and listens to what we want him to do.
All right, so he's a follower and not a leader, is what you're saying.
We only have one leader, and that's wonderful, Zach Leonard.
All right. Now, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers have on their bucket list to do is a tour of Japan. It's become easier in the last few years to get to Japan to wrestle for independent American and Canadian wrestlers. Is Japan something that the Freak Show is considered as a viable option for their careers?
We're willing to go wherever they want to take us, wherever the money's at. You know, if Zach Winters today was to say, let's go to Japan, and that's what we would do. Zach Winters calls the shot.
Now, obviously, Japan is something that is a little bit different as far as style goes. It is different as far as the wrestling culture and a lot of different variables that are different from what American wrestling would be. Is going to Japan something that you would do if one or more of the Freak Show members got a tour in Japan?
Well, of course, I ain't got nothing better to do, and I manage them wherever we're wanted, wherever we're needed.
Now, have you ever been to Japan at any point?
I never have. The farthest overseas I've been is Germany.
Other side of the world.
Yeah.
Now, Germany has a very unique wrestling scene as well. Of course, going back to the days of Otto Vons, they had 2-week-long round-robin tournaments every year. A lot of American talent would be brought into Germany for these tournaments, and they would get a 2 to 4 week run at a time. Is going to Germany for one of these tournaments something that's ever entered into your mind?
No, not really. The 3 years I was in Germany was enough for me.
Fair enough. Now, as someone that has traveled a good bit, you've gone, of course, down to Roseburg, you've gone up into Marysville, Washington, you've gone quite a few places here in the Northwest. Do you have some travel tips for some of the younger people in the wrestling business today that will help them when they go on the road and are making towns?
Well, especially if they're rookies, they just need to not talk and keep your ears open and listen, and they'll go a long ways in this business if they just listen to what's expected of them and what they're told, and if they do that, they'll do quite well.
Now, when you were first making towns, is that how you were able to come along in your own career? It was just listening to what was being said.
Yes, exactly. That's how I managed to I kept things to myself. I listened and I scouted things out and I've become pretty darn successful at doing what I do.
Obviously, in pro wrestling, just because of the nature of the business, sometimes there are going to be some incidents that are particularly scary, whether it be a very serious injury, whether it be an incident with a fan crossing the line, all kinds of things that can go wrong on a show that tend to scare people. What's the scariest incident that you have ever witnessed so far?
There was in BCW, there was one time where somebody jumped over the tables and I don't remember who he's going after, but he's going after somebody and he got stopped short. Got kicked in the face and then thrown out of the building.
Have you personally ever had a fan attempt to come after you during the course of a show?
No, I've had fans try to egg me on to come after them, but that's pretty much the gist of it. I never fell for that, and I never would.
You've not lived till you caused a riot, Paul.
No, I may be crazy, but I ain't stupid.
Well, I might have been a little bit of both. I've caused one or two in my day.
You wake up in the morning would cause one.
Uh-huh. Al, you don't have to get in and do the actual wrestling very often, but you are out there to manage guys, and sometimes the matches will go for quite a while. What's the longest match that you've been part of, be it as a manager or advisor, or even if it was actual in the ring wrestling?
Oh wow, there's been several that come to mind, but it's kind of hard to put into perspective because there's been times where all the freak show that was involved in matches, all the freak show where it was in singles matches, and there was times that all the freak show was in back to back matches. So I was out there back to back to back to back.
I once went out 19 total times over a 3-day span for Coach Mike Jones. Try to top that.
I can top anything you want to do if the card is big enough, but the card is not big enough, so don't worry about it.
Well, then you're going to have Coach run another 3-day long event and see if you can get to 20.
Because my main thing here is I manage champions.
I did too in some of those matches.
Zach Winters is multiple champion. I have managed him to three different titles. In two different promotions, and he has held them all at the same time, and he's still holding those titles.
All right. Well, we have hit the part of the show where we have a game we like to play called Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. You've done this before. I'll give you a series of two options, and the one that best is your preference is the answer. Are you prepared for some Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Okay, bring it on.
All right, here we go. First one, Kevin Von Erich or Kevin Brandt?
Kevin Von Erich.
Skull or Bob?
Oh.
Tights or trunks?
Tights.
Nightclub or strip club?
Strip club.
Bourbon or vodka?
I don't do either one, so I'll say bourbon, I guess.
Flannel or wool?
Wow.
AEW or Ring of Honor?
AEW.
Powerbomb or Pile Driver?
Pile Driver.
The last one, Mr. Fuji or Mr. Perfect?
Perfect.
All right, and that completes Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. One of the things that you haven't done very often in your career is something that is a vital component in professional wrestling, that being the referee. I know you worked with many, many, many different referees in your career. Who would you say are some of the best ones out there that you've come across so far?
Aubrey Edwards. Zachary. And John Daniels.
All very, very good. And, of course, Zachary, my younger twin brother.
Yeah, twin brother. Okay.
Well, why do you think people have trouble telling us apart?
Because he doesn't have hair all over his face.
Well, he's still growing into it.
Well, that remains to be seen.
One of the things that a lot of people in wrestling have done to make money in the business over the last several years is a seminar. As someone that has been managing for the past several years and as someone that has managed champions and main event talent, have you ever considered running your own managerial seminar?
No, I'd rather stick to what I do. I'm not much of a talker.
Now, if someone came to you right here today and they asked you for your help getting into the wrestling business and they want to be a wrestling manager, what are you going to tell that person?
I'd tell them to scout out the talent and talk to the owners it took me a long time to get in the business. I was a photographer first, going around the ring taking pictures and whatnot. And then I went to being a fan, and then all of a sudden it took recognized me and wanted me to come in back, and that's how I started.
Now, of course, there's been very, very successful people that started out as photographers over the years. Jim Cornette, Paul Heyman, Eddie Gilbert, of course, the man that broke me into the business, Jerry Wilson, all started as prominent wrestling photographers, and all of those people went on to either book a company or own their own territory. Is owning your own company something that you've ever considered?
No, not really. I gotta just manage talent and be right there at ringside. If I had my own company or whatever, I just mainly be in the back and that's not something I want to do.
Have you ever discussed with the Freak Show on if any of the members of the Freak Show have plans to eventually start their own wrestling companies?
No, I really haven't. And nobody in the Freak Show, none of them is really talked about having their own company or anything like that. I think they're mostly content with what they're doing also.
One person that no longer is in the Freak Show, although he was for quite a while, is Meat. You defaced a picture that I had of the Freak Show that pops up on the sign of the times every episode. You defaced the plastic covering the picture other than the actual picture, so Meat has been slowly being undefaced as time goes by in the sign of the times. What's the official stance of Meat from the Freak Show these days?
Well, they're still gonna take some time on that. I'm negotiating a contract that maybe at some time we might consider taking him back, but there's going to be a lot of stipulations that he's going to have to go by and stuff before we even consider him as coming back. That anything's possible.
At any point, would you require me to go on a vegan diet?
It's possible. It's possible because he needs to get trimmed up and what have you. It's possible that we may have him go on a vegan diet.
Wow, I would have to see that to believe it. Well, at this point, QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has several questions for you, so I'm going to pass things to him.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sangai. Hello, Pa.
Hello.
Pa, I'd like to continue with Sangai's Bring On The Choice, Bring On The Funk, an expanded version. Are you ready to make several difficult choices?
As long as there's some that I can relate to.
Oh, okay. Yes, every one is something you can relate to. Maybe not the first one, but okay. Pan-seared Chilean sea bass or brook trout almondine?
Oh, my God. You really, really going to ask a ridiculous question like that?
Pretty much a choice. A lifestyle choice, yes.
I don't like lifestyle choices. Go on to something else.
Oh, okay. I'm going to just cross that out. Okay. Fast times at Ridgemont High or Caddyshack?
Caddyshack.
Okay. Who was your favorite character in Caddyshack?
Yeah, me. It's been so long since I've seen it. I don't remember who's even in it.
Oh, okay. Well, you remember Judge Smales, don't you? Judge Smales?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying, someone at the last BCW show I was at said that you reminded him of Judge Smales. That's your homework assignment, to look up Judge Smales. Ted Knight on the Mary Tyler Moore show played Judge Smales in Caddyshack.
Yeah, I know who Ted Knight is.
Oh, okay.
And I don't resemble him at all.
Oh, all right. Okay. Leapin' Lanny Poffo or Bastion Booger?
Poffo.
Okay, Poffo. Okay. Revenge of the Nerds or Death Wish by Charles Bronson?
Revenge of the Nerds.
Okay. And did you, just for fact, did you know that Charles Bronson was a tail gunner on board a Boeing Fortress, Super Fortress in World War II, a tail gunner?
No, I didn't.
Okay, now you know that. Yes, I'm full of facts. Okay. The Heartbreak Kid.
Full of fun.
What's that?
I said you're full of something. I wouldn't say it's facts.
Paul, I've always had your back. Why do you put me down?
You have never had my back. You stayed beyond my back. In fact, when I turn around, you would run.
Well, I prefer it as a fast run.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, or Stacy Keibler?
Heartbreak Kid.
Okay, and the last one, Tugboat or Typhoon?
Typhoon.
Okay, you're going with Typhoon. Okay. Well, Pa, did you hear the story about the photographer who pointed his camera into an empty cell on Alcatraz only to have a ghostly figure appear after the film was developed? He saw a face scowling back at him in the dark. Have you heard of the story?
No.
I only ask this because you told Sign Guy earlier that you about a possible trip to Japan and Germany. Well, those prisoner of war camps like Auschwitz and Buchenwald, they held many of prisoners, and I hear that the birds do not chirp there, especially at Auschwitz.
I've never been a prisoner of war, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just warning you, if you go to these prisoner of war camps, you won't hear the birds chirp.
Okay.
And I would want you to be on your best behavior and not take selfies of the Freak Shine group, because some people have the audacity to take selfies at these prisoner of war camps. It's way out of line.
Oh, okay. Well, they need to get be in line to take a picture.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Well, you would have to get in line. Okay. Well, Pa, you spoke to Sign Guy earlier about a conducting a seminar, and you were pretty much against that idea. What if I would go half and half with you on putting on a seminar? Maybe I could take care of appropriating the ring and the disinfectant and maybe a snack for the wrestlers. If I met those three conditions, would you put on a seminar with myself?
I would want to make money. I wouldn't make money if you were involved in any way.
Oh, come on. I do fairly well with the wallet myself.
Yeah, well, you're stingy as hell with the pies.
I am not stingy. Now, there might be a couple of times, a couple of weeks, that I forget to hand out the fruit pies, but eventually, those that were ranked number one usually get the fruit pies, and even some that weren't ranked number one, like meat.
I would have to intimidate you to get a pie and threaten you, and that's when you hand over the whole bag.
Well, that's true. You have confronted me several times at Blue Collar Wrestling. You are a pretty intimidating person. Yes.
I mean, that'd be more intimidating in the future.
Oh, okay. Kind of like a Terminator from the future? Okay. All right. Well, Pa, this past 6 months, due to the coronavirus, entrance music for wrestlers has taken on a political theme. If you're a Democrat, you tend to choose entrance music that focuses on new wave or folk music. If you're a Republican, wrestlers tend to choose punk music or heavy metal. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, up until a year ago, what your entrance music was that both Sign Guy and myself heard regularly at WUW and BCW Wrestling? What was your entrance music?
I never had any entrance music of my own.
Okay, you had pretty much entrance music for the whole Freakshiner clan when you used to come to the...
Right, or if when I was a moonshiner, I came out to their music. I didn't have any music of my own.
Oh, okay. Was that music from the father of bluegrass, Bill Monroe?
Bill moonshiner Monroe. Music?
Yes.
No, that was from the Moonshine Bandits.
Moonshine Bandits. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Pa, just for the record, Bill Monroe had that song, Blue Moon of Kentucky, the famous bluegrass song.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Well, Pa, after Trump says it's okay to start up businesses again, will you still incorporate the 6-foot distancing as part of the Freak Show plan of attack? 6-foot distancing.
Hell no. I'm gonna be right up on you.
Is there any way that at this seminar that you have agreed to start with me, if I supply the
ring? Never agreed to nothing. Hey! I never agreed to nothing. Don't you try to start. Yeah, you tried to get it in there. It ain't working.
Oh, yes. You caught me. I tried to slip that in. I was going to show you my version of a 6-foot distancing takedown maneuver. That's what I was going to do.
Yeah, okay. I'll show you my 6-foot takedown maneuver and it involved my cane.
Oh, no. Okay. All right, I'll mark that down. Okay. All right. Well, Pa, have you ever used a bottle of frozen hand sanitizer as a porn object?
Never have.
Okay.
Although
I'm going to put that
in. Not a bad idea.
Yes, it isn't a bad idea. Kind of like my 6-foot distancing attack takedown. Yes, that's a good idea.
Well,
we'll work on
between, with my arm distance and my cane distance, there'll be six foot between you and me.
Oh, all right. Okay. Okay. Well, Pa, in a seminal episode in Seinfeld sitcom history, George Costanza was giving a ride to his fiance's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Roth. In the car, he told them a lie that he had two racehorses. When Mr. Roth asked what their names were, George said, Snoopy and Prickly Pete. My question is, when you were living in the hills and hollers of Appalachia, what was the name of your mule?
I never had a mule.
I rode a bear. You rode a bear?
Yeah.
Black bear or grizzly bear?
It don't matter, though. Both are still alive.
Holy smokes. Can you tell us the name of this bear and not mule?
You really want to know?
You'll find out
someday, face to face.
Whoa, boy! That sounds kind of trepidatious. I'm a little bit weary of this. Holy smokes! Okay, but you did name a bear. I'm very curious now. Okay, very good. All right, I'll put down someday meet Pa Moonshine's bear. No. Okay. Well, Pa,
it's not moonshine. You keep calling me moonshine.
Oh, yeah, freak shine, yes. I hearken back to fond memories of a day where you were slightly more mellow. I think you were on downers instead of uppers. Yes.
Well, that may be, but Paul Moonshine is dead. Freakshine is alive.
Yes, I think during your moonshine phase, you were probably on Quaaludes, while now, as a freakshiner, you're on Benzedrine. Yes.
It don't matter what I'm on. I'm more vicious now than I ever was as a moonshiner.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Pa, do you plan to go back into the hills and hollers of Appalachia, meet up with this bear that you rode, and have him as a mascot at Blue Collar Wrestling when Trump starts Blue Collar Wrestling back up, having the bear as a mascot?
No, actually, what I'm going to probably do is put a leash around you, a wig on your head, and lead you around and call you my pet pig.
Wow! If you did do this, would the music that you would lead me around in be "Freak on a Leash" by Korn?
It could be. You just never know. I may introduce you to Miss Piggy.
Oh my God. Well, I tell you, Pa, I have been known to wear wigs. Yes.
Yeah, well, it didn't do much for your look either, did it?
Well, do you remember, in a seminal moment in Blue Collar Wrestling history, I had a run-in with one of the fans there. I can't quite remember her name. But she snatched that wig off my head and stuffed it down her pants. I never wore the wig since.
That's
it's true.
She never gave it back, or if you went after it, you pulled something out and it wasn't a wig.
Oh well, I don't quite know how to respond to that. It just, well, I let her keep the wig. Let her keep the wig. Okay. Okay. Well, Pa, have you filled out an application with Sign Guy to join Team Bad Knees, which include Troy Miller, Miss Elizabeth, and Cameron Starr? Have you filled out an application?
I don't have any bad knees.
Oh, you've got to have a little bit of knobby knees.
No, that's why I never wear knee pads, because I don't have anything wrong with my knees.
Oh, okay. Well, in theory, say if you had problems with your knees, do you believe Sign Guy would give you a senior citizen discount to join Team Bad Knees? And if so, would you take this discount upon finally joining Team Bad Knees, upon Sign Guy's approval, taking the discount and buy number 10 cans of Dinty Moore beef stew?
Why would I need a senior discount? I'm only 39 years old. What more do you want?
39? You've certainly aged pretty rough.
No.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm in the prime of my life.
Boy, prime in your life. Boy, you certainly, you should have stayed out of the sun's solar flare burst and the radiation field. Yes.
Well, you're gonna see some major differences in the future.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just observation and speculation at this point. Speculation. Yes.
Okay.
It's probably those Quaaludes you took in the 70s. Yes.
Hey.
79.
I was in Germany in the 70s.
Oh, okay. Well, so was Devin Bellinger of Who's on the First Sports Cards in Marysville, Washington. Devin Bellinger.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, Pa, you spoke to Sign Guy earlier about merchandise, and you didn't want to tell Sign Guy how the Freak Shine Corporation made its money. Well, Pa, there was a situation where Richie Ramone, who was the third drummer of the Ramones, he quit because he felt the Ramones, and mostly Johnny Ramone, the lead guitarist, was withholding Ramones sweatshirt money, a percentage of the T-shirt sales. Richie Ramone felt he was not getting that money. Now, Richie was in the band from February 1983 to August 1987. Richie played on the Ramones albums Too Tough to Die, Animal Boy, and Halfway to Sanity. Did you know that the album Too Tough to Die was named for Johnny Ramone, who underwent emergency brain surgery after being kicked in the head by Seth Macklin, a 22-year-old punk rocker of the band Sub-Zero? Did you know this? This street confrontation that Johnny Ramone had.
I didn't know anything about it.
No, okay. Well, I'm just saying, don't be surprised if someone in the next couple months holds up a banner called Pa Freakshine, Too Tough to Die by Johnny Ramone. I'm just giving you a heads up.
Yeah, that, let me guess, that person's going to be you.
That could be, yes, but at least you'll know the story. I mean, Johnny was out real late at three in the morning in New York City, and he saw an ex-girlfriend with Seth Macklin of the punk band Sub-Zero, and his girlfriend claimed to be in an open relationship with Seth Macklin, and Johnny sensed that the girl was in trouble. That's why he went up to Seth Macklin and said, you should let the girl go, you know, and let her go to her apartment. And that's when they got into a fight.
Okay.
What does that have to do with Richie Ramone, the drummer? I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Pa, I will start throwing out inquiries there, especially to Tex Thompson, and see if I can get this seminar in gear, where I will provide the ring and the sanitizer and the snacks for the wrestlers, and you could provide everything else, like the logistics. I look forward to this.
I told you, no way. That I'm in this to make money, not to lose, not to go bankrupt. And you would make me go bankrupt.
What if I start a production on the ring, and then I send you a picture on Snapchat of the ring? Would that get your merchandising going?
I'm out here to make money, not to lose. And you haven't anything to do with anything, Jim. It's going to be nothing but a loser.
Okay, what if we start up a Paw Freak Shine QT Votes gear making, you know, like making wrestling tights and boots and stuff? Would that be something you'd be interested in?
We'll leave that up to Congo Kong.
Oh, Congo Kong, you're well aware of this. Okay. He is a good gear maker. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, okay, so the ring is out. The sand for the ring and the fruit pies, plus the gear. You're not very good to go on this. How about we go into the wig business together, like Rastafarian wigs?
I don't think so. You stop trying to go in business with me because it's not going to happen. I'm not going to have anything to do with you when it comes to money. I have my own money. I make my own money, and I know how to make my own money. I don't need your help to make me lose money.
So I can guess that you would not be very excited about going into the rickshaw business with me, providing rides to wrestlers in a rickshaw.
I would go into business of any kind with you.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Pa, as soon as the 6-foot distancing is over, I look forward to seeing you again at Blue Collar Wrestling. I realize I'm an inspiration.
You're no inspiration to me, believe me. My inspiration comes from the Freak Show, and I have got my own inspiration, and in the future, near future, you will see what this inspiration brings out in me.
Okay, all right. Wise words from a sage individual. And, Pa, I look forward to meeting your bear. Hopefully it's a bear cub. And at this time, I'm turning it back over to Sun Guy. Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Paul, one of the people that has become one of the most popular members of the Blue Collar roster in recent times is someone that I don't know if you've had many run-ins with, but that would be Miss Sarah. She seems to have gained many, many fans since she debuted last year at Blue Collar Wrestling. What's your impressions of Miss Sarah?
She's an up-and-comer. She'll go a long way in this thing.
Now, have you approached Miss Sarah to see if she would like to join the Freak Show? I know she's currently under contract to, I believe, the Rockefeller Foundation. But once that expires, would you be there with a contract for her to join the Freak Show?
Anything is possible. She'd be a great asset to the Freak Show, but anything is possible.
Now, I know Sunny Days is also right there with Miss Sarah as far as top female talent at Blue Collar. How do you feel about Sunny Days right now?
Well, Sunny Days and I, Sunny Days is tough with me. She always will be tough with me. She saved my life a couple of different times at BCW. So yeah, she'll always be number one with me.
So you're saying Miss Sarah is number two?
Hey, I didn't say that. You did.
I was just saying a sunny days is tops. Stands to reason.
Miss Sarah didn't save my life. Sunny days is they're rubbing my chest and stuff. Sarah's never done that, so. So I gotta go with Sunny Days there.
So if Miss Sarah were to rub your chest, then she would be your number one.
Don't be getting me in trouble with Paul Preston now.
Hey, if he moonsaults you, he moonsaults you. I can't help that.
Hey, Paul Preston has attempted to pile drive me before, and still can, and luckily somebody came up to rescue me. So I don't put nothing past Paul Preston.
Did you know, as a matter of fact, Paul Preston's very first blue collar match he ever had many, many, many years ago, well before he was a regular, he actually tag teamed with that idiot Darth Carter.
At this stage in the game, Darth Carter would just about anybody, just so he can hide behind somebody.
I guess so, yeah. Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show today, so if you want to say anything to the listeners, plug and promote anything, the social medias, any merchandise, your favorite takeout Chinese food place, anything you want, floor is all yours.
Well, because of the virus going on, there's a whole lot to plug, but when this virus is over with, you can bet that the Freak Show will be in Roseburg. The Freak Show will be at BCW. The Freak Show might even be in Washington. You just never know. But the one thing that you never asked me on this show is what is with Paul Freakshine in the future. Well, all I can tell you is this. I've been reevaluating myself, taking this time off. Reevaluate myself. When I come back, I'm going to be back more aggressive with a little bit different look, and nobody is going to recognize who Paul Freakshine is, because Paul Freakshine has taken the Freak Show to the top once again, and we'll stay there, and we'll be there for as long as we want to be.
You say we aren't going to recognize you. Are you going to have some plastic surgery?
No, I'm not having no plastic surgery, and I didn't say you wouldn't recognize me. But I'm going to be more aggressive, and there's going to be a little bit of a different look. I'm still going to have paint, but I'm going to be more aggressive, and I'm going to be out there helping my men win, and that's all we're going to do is be winners. We're going to take all the titles. We're going to take all Roseburg titles, take it all, take all of the top and be there to the top for as long as we want to be.
Well, Paul, thank you for taking the time to be with us here today. I'm sure our paths will cross once things get back to normal. Fans, you can find Paul pretty much every week at Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland. You can find him at Power Pit Pro in Roseburg. Sometimes he pops up in other places as well, so keep track of him, and we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. This Sunday we have Caleb Rex, the Thoroughbred. Caleb Rex, son of T, will be our guest on Sunday. Join us then, and we'll talk to you soon. The only thing I want to do.